I would ask the kids to come up and help play tag with me. Any kids want to come up and play tag? Does anybody know how to play tag? If anybody knows how to play tag, why don't you come on up and help play tag with me? Do you guys know how to play tag? Tag is when somebody is it, and they tag you, and then you're it, right? And then what do? You tag somebody else. But now normally, once you've tagged somebody else, then you're not it anymore, right? But this time, I want us all to stay it. So I'll tag somebody, and then you'll be it, and then you'll tag somebody, and they'll be it, and we'll just all be it, okay? So it's a little different than the normal tag game. And what I want us to do is I'm going to tag each one of you, and then I want you to spread out and tag everybody here, because I want everybody to be it here. And when you are tagged, you need to stand so that they know that you have been tagged, okay? That you are it. If you're able, if you could please stand. So, understand? So, once I tag you, go out and start tagging people, right? You're it. 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 Okay, let's go find somebody to tag. Let's go tag somebody. Come on. Let's go. Let's tag somebody right here. Oh, there you go. Okay, and then whoever gets tagged needs to start tagging people around them, because as soon as you are tagged, then you are it, and you have to start tagging people around you. Uh-oh, there's people in the belt. Oh, come on, guys. Oh, we got it. You're it. Now you have to tag your brother. He's it. You guys have to stand and make sure you get the people around you so that we are all it. Is everybody tagged? Is everybody tagged? Oh, there's somebody way in the back row yet. Have to turn around and tag the people in the back row. Okay, okay. Woo! I think we got everybody. Now, have the children found your parents? That's the next more important thing. Kids, try to find your parents, okay? You guys did a great job of playing tag. Adults, not so well. Just saying. But now, I'm going to explain this in just a sec, so you can be seated. Now, there is another thought behind me. Even those of you who are online, if you could just tag yourself and stand up, because you will focus better after you stand up and breathe a little bit. Okay, now, what I want to do is I want to explain to you, why is it that we are all it? We are continuing this study of Romans, and we're looking at a section in Romans chapter 5 that is really quite difficult to understand. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through this section just so you hear the whole thing, and then we'll just walk our way through the text, through the course of the message. And I'll explain why we played tag at the beginning of the message. So, if you would like to look at Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Did all the kids find their way back? I hope. Okay. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but law is not charged against anyone's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man,
How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this is just one of those sections where you read through it and you go, huh? What did Paul say? It was way too deep for me. So, I just moved it really close to me. Ooh, sorry about that. So, let's just pick it apart. And we first of all begin with this whole idea of playing tag. When somebody is it and they tag you, then they're it. And then the next person is it, and the next person is it. That's the picture that Paul begins this lesson with. Take a look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered through the world through one man. Now, who is that one man? Adam, right? Okay. Just as sin entered the world through Adam, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. So Adam is it. He brings sin and death into the world. And it's because of this one man that death comes to all of us. You see, Adam was it. And he tagged the next generation. And the next generation tagged the next generation, and the next generation tagged the next generation, so that we all experience this whole idea of death coming to us because of Adam's sin. Now, Paul explains that just a little bit farther. The next verses are kind of like a parenthetical remark to explain why is it that we can look at Adam's sin and say, we are guilty and subject to death because of Adam's sin. He goes on and explains. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. So Adam broke a clear command of God, right? Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mike was just talking about that. A clear command, Adam broke it. He brought sin and death upon himself. But what about all the people from Adam's time to the time of Moses? All the pre-flood patriarchs, they didn't have a clear command of God that they broke, and yet they all died. Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, they all lived long before Moses came along and God gave the Ten Commandments. They didn't have a clear command of God that said, don't do this, and yet they all died. It's not that they weren't sinful, but sin is not charged to an account when there is no law. God wasn't even charging their sin to account because there was no commandment. But they all died. Why? Because death spread out from Adam to them. In fact, as you think about the first few chapters of Genesis after the fall into sin, you see how death spreads. Oops. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam's sin starts this spread of death. Because when Adam sins, His relationship with his wife dies. His relationship with God dies. And ultimately, he's going to die. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Adam's sin is there, and from that sin, death spreads out. Then in chapter 4, we see that the death and the power of sin spreads from Adam into the next generation. Cain murders his brother Abel, and I see that, and I go, wow, that's happening in my life too, because what Adam did, that power of death and sin is spreading out into my life. Because 1 John says that whoever hates his brother is a murderer. I just see that power of sin in my life spreading out too. And then chapter 5. Chapter 5, most of us think about chapter 5 because of people's long, long lives. Adam lived 930 years. Methuselah lived
longer.
In the other services, they said about 1,000 years. I said, yes, let's round up. It's actually 969. There's the trivia question for the day. 969 years. But if we focus on the length of the pre-flood patriarchs' lives, we miss the point. What's the point of that chapter? The point is in the refrain. At the end of every person's life, it always ends the same except with one exception. The refrain is, and then he died. And then he died. And then he died. And it reminds me that Adam's sin and the power of sin and death not only has spread into my life so that I sin, but it spread into the sense that I'm going to die too, because no matter how long I live, my history is going to end with the phrase, and then Pete died. But it's not just my death, it's your death too, because in Genesis chapter 6, then death spreads out into the whole world with the flood. You see, death spreads. The picture that comes to my mind is this gross picture. You know, you've seen these murder mystery movies where somebody is murdered and the blood spreads, right? Spreads. This is the background then, to appreciate that grace wins every time. Because as Paul goes on, he doesn't use the word spread. By the way, I use the word spread giving credit where credit is due. The new translation that some of our pastors and seminary professors worked on, the Evangelical Heritage Version, we got a free copy when we went to the Synod Convention. Good for us. But it is a good translation, but it uses the term spreads. That death spread. But now look at this next verse and see that Paul uses a different word. Death doesn't spread. Grace doesn't spread. Grace overflows. Look at this next verse. Oops. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Overflow. When I think of overflow, I think of like a raging river, a torrent of water flowing over something. Now, that's incredibly destructive and frightening, but if you remember that my picture was this blood oozing out from Adam and contaminating everything and just continuing to spread. Now, think of this raging river of grace washing all of that blood-stained death and guilt away, where sin was present. Grace overflowed. Grace overflowed Adam's guilt. You and I die because of Adam's guilt and sin. death has spread to us because of Adam. But this passage says that God's grace overflows to us. But even that isn't enough. Paul says there's more. God could have said, okay, I'm going to take care of Adam's sin and guilt, and then you're on your own. But Paul goes on and says, no. Grace overflows also over my sin. He goes on, verse 16, nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. Remember, the gift of God is this whole idea that God's Son would die for sinners like us. Pastor Nate, last week at the picnic, preached on that text where it talks about how while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, that Christ dies for the ungodly. This is this incredible gift that God gives. The gift of God in the person of Christ can't be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. Adam's one sin brought condemnation, the death upon all of us. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. The gift of Jesus suffering and dying doesn't just cover Adam's guilt and sin, it covers our guilt and sin too, the many trespasses that I've committed and the many trespasses that you've committed. Grace overflows and covers all of my sin and your sin. And death is overwhelmed as well. In verse 17, Paul writes, for if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Now just understand this. By the trespass of the one man, Adam's sin caused death to reign as king, right? No matter how powerful people were in the world, I don't care. Death reigned as king. Death was more powerful than the most powerful, the most wealthy people in this world. Death reigned as king. Why? Because of Adam's sin. But how much more will those of us who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? One of the problems, it's so dark, I have to come a little bit closer and just enjoy seeing kings and queens. You see, I love looking at kings and queens because this passage doesn't just say that life reigns, it says we reign, right? We who have received God's abundant provision of grace, as grace has washed over us, we reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We reign over death. Death cannot defeat us because we have an indestructible life. We will live and reign with our Savior forever. You and I are kings and queens. We reign in life. You see, grace overflows the power of sin and death that oozed out from Adam. Grace overflows my death. Every one of us can say that, but it's not just your death and my death, it's the world's death. And that's what this next passage brings out, verses 18 and 19. Now, okay, I love giving homework. This is my homework, to memorize verses 18 and 19. Now, this is a hard passage to memorize, but I'm going to give you a little hint. If you read verses 18 and 19 every morning when you brush your teeth and every evening when you brush your teeth, you've read it 14 times over the course of a week, you'll pretty much know it. And if you can read it out loud while you're brushing your teeth, I will give you extra credit. All right, so let's read this together because this is the heart and core of this text, this whole idea of a great exchange that takes place. Adam's sin that spread out upon us is replaced by this grace of Christ that overflows us. Let's read it together. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people. Stop there. Condemnation for how many people? All people. So also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Stop there. For how many people? All people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. All people. You see, no matter who we bump into out there in the world, they are people that death is reigning over because of Adam's sin and their own sin. But we have a message that says they don't have to be subject to that king. That Jesus is the one who brings life, justification, a declaration of not guilty for all people, no matter who you talk to. I appreciate so much a book by Max Licato. There's some things I don't agree with this in this book, but in this book, In His Grip, it's a devotional book that he wrote on the grace of God in Romans. So I just read it, and I appreciate it so much that he struggles with the whole idea of Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, because, Jeffrey Dahmer, horrible thing. And he said, I'm not struggling with his crimes. I'm struggling with the fact that we're told that he became a Christian before he died. Wow. Yeah, death spread, but grace overflows, right? Every person we talk to, no matter what they have done, grace overflows. This is the not guilty verdict, that God will forgive you and not hold you eternally accountable for your sins. Not guilty doesn't mean you didn't do it. Not guilty means you are not going to be subject to punishment. You receive the not guilty verdict and life, no matter what you've done. This is the privilege that you and I have. We can share this message so that grace not only overflows upon us and washes away the power of sin and death in our lives, but it could wash over the people around us. And so that leads into another homework assignment. You see, the next passage goes on and talks about why is there law in the first place? Every once in a while I mess this up. There we go. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. You know, if we were already guilty because of Adam's sin, why did God give the Ten Commandments anyway? So that the law would increase. Or so that the trespass would increase. So that you understand your sin more clearly. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Ten Commandments were given so that the sin could increase. And this is something that you and I can celebrate. We want to see our sins more clearly so that we can appreciate God's grace more clearly. This is such a marvelous thing to be able to share with somebody who is struggling with a sense of incredible guilt, who is in the midst of despair, who thinks I might as well give up. Suicide maybe is the answer. What a marvelous gift that you and I have. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. I want to see my sin more clearly. Not so that I dwell in the depths of guilt and despair, but so that God's grace is so much more beautiful to me. Now, what's my homework for you is, what's your picture of this? What is your picture so that you can share with the people who are under the rule and reign of death, so that you can share with them that there is this grace that overflows them and allows them to reign in life through Christ? What is your illustration that says where sin increased, death increased all the more? Many of you have heard my illustration. My illustration is that I'm a farm boy from the southern plains of Minnesota. I took pigs to the county fair. And the first thing you did on Sunday morning, or in the morning, was you cleaned out the pig pen. And the bigger the pile of poop outside the barn, the more you appreciated that somebody was coming with a great big loader and pushing it all away. The poop wasn't the important thing. The important thing was the tractor, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. I want to see my sin more clearly so that I appreciate that Christ is that great big old tractor pushing all that sin and guilt and death away. I am forgiven. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Now, if you are not a farm boy who took pigs or cows to the county fair, or farm girl, this illustration is going to fall short. So my question for you is, what is your illustration of where sin increased, grace increased all the more? How many of you have ever had ants in your house? You guys are so much more honest than the other services, or otherwise we are just not as clean as the other services, I don't know. But where ants increased, I appreciate the power of raid all the more, right? Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Take them all away. Or this past week, I'm disappointed that I'm not Canadian. Because you see, I have Chase credit cards. And I don't know if you heard in the news that Chase has gotten out of the credit card business in Canada. And to get out of the credit card business in Canada, they took all of those great big old bills that stood against you, they forgave them all. Where sin increased, where the debt is in the thousands and maybe the thousands of dollars, grace increased all the more. I appreciate it all the more. I want to see how great my debt is so that I can appreciate and celebrate God's grace. What is your illustration? Because God's grace is not just meant to spread out and flow over you. It's meant to spread out and flow over the entire world from you. You see, you are it. You've been tagged not just with Adam's sin and guilt. You have been tagged with Christ's grace and life. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. That's my first homework assignment after the memorization. What's your illustration so that you celebrate and you can tell people, you know what, I am incredibly guilty, and I'm seeing my sin more and more clearly. Things that didn't bother me in the past bother me now. My conscience is becoming more and more acute, but that's okay because where sin increased, grace increased all the more. It flows over me, and I am forgiven. I am not guilty, and I will rule and reign forever with Christ. What's your illustration? And then here's my last homework assignment. You know, that passage talked about the great exchange. Now, I don't know if you saw in the worship folder, you know, that I didn't use a nice, pretty illustration like this for the Great Exchange. I used this corny one instead. Now, why? Because I wanted to emphasize to you that you don't have to be an artist. All you have to do is just explain to people that Adam's sin and your sin and death are pressing down upon you. And that God in his grace transferred all of that stuff onto Jesus so that Adam's guilt and Adam's death and my guilt and my death were placed on Jesus. And Christ's perfect obedience even to death is credited to me so that God looks at me and sees me as absolutely perfect, just like he sees Jesus. I am righteous in his sight. That's what the Great Exchange says. You think you can share that Great Exchange? It's not that hard. You could probably even draw it. There is nothing better than seeing in somebody's eye that they've crossed over from death to life, that they've seen the rule of death that's reigned over them their entire life destroyed. And they begin to see that grace has won for them. This is our privilege. You and I have been touched by our Savior. I so much appreciate the baptismal font being here, because in baptism we were touched by the Savior, right? We were tagged. You're it. You have life, a life that will never end. Every Sunday morning, we take communion. We have communion half an hour before the regular service, because here in the communion service, Jesus touches us. He tags us and says, "You're it. You have life. And now I want you to go and share this marvelous gift of life with others." When you were tagged, what were you supposed to do? Stand up. You're it. Stand up. Because there we go. There's Kevin. All right. Come on. You're it. Stand up. Because Jesus has tagged you. You don't have just death through Adam. You have this overflowing life in Christ. Because grace wins. Grace wins. Let's pray. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for reminding us of this incredible good news that you love us, how you love us. It's just amazing. Lord, we do pray that you would give us the spiritual eyesight to see how great our sin is, that we have Adam's sin charged against us. We have our own sins charged against us. But then, Lord, don't let us just see and feel that ugly spread of sin and death. Then let us feel and see the overwhelming rush of your grace washing over us. Help us to experience that life right now that will never end. And then, Lord, as you have given us that kind of life, then, Lord, let that life, let that grace overflow from us to the people around us, to the world around us. Because it's not just for us. It's for every one of us. Everyone we meet. Lord, use us to tag the people around us that they might live and reign in grace forever. God's people said, amen. Amen.